If you were a big guy, you would understand the problem.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jim.
I'm Ryan.
And this is the Concept Crucible Podcast. And
today we're going to be talking about something that's near and dear to our hearts as large men.
Yes.
Very pants. Near and dear. I was going to say food.
Oh, yeah. No. You don't, food.
I mean, other than genetics, you don't really get to be a large individual without the assistance of food.
Mm.
So, I mean, we're both tall. I don't know how you got tall, because your mom is like...
My understanding is that my father is quite tall.
Okay. Both of my parents are reasonably tall, but I'm taller than both of them, so... Yeah. We blame Chernobyl, oddly enough. My mom was in Eastern Europe when Chernobyl blew, and so the joke is that we got a dose of radiation.
Were you a Teenage Mutant Ninja, Ryan?
Well, I was teenage. Sometimes I was a mutant. Ninja might be a little...
Coming to a theater near you, Teenage Mutant Ninja Huckle.
It's not nearly as interesting as the name implies.
Well, fair. No, we're talking about food.
Yeah, and our relationship to it.
Yes. Icebreaker.
Yeah.
What is the worst... Like, as an adult, as a child doesn't count.
Yeah.
Like, that time I made my mom toast with moldy bread. Given the argument that some of the bread came with jam already on it.
Yeah. Green jelly.
It looked blue to me. I'm also deeply colorblind. Given it didn't taste like jam when I tried it.
Probably not.
As an adult, what is the worst thing you have ever made?
As you know, if you follow me on social media, I do make a lot of food.
Oh my god, this guy takes so many pictures of his food.
See, here's where I justify it to myself, is that I'm taking pictures of food that I made. I'm not taking pictures of food that I'm about to eat, necessarily.
I don't think you need to justify it at all. You can take pictures of whatever you want.
Well, I feel like I need to justify it because I still have a, like, tension in my mind that I'm just being one of those douchebags.
You just need to get in touch with your inner Kanye West.
Maybe. You know, sometimes I actually admire him.
I admire Kanye West a great deal.
Yeah.
I feel that he is the most adapted man for the 21st century.
Yeah.
And the fact that bothers people
is
a subject for another video.
We have talked about that.
Not
to go too deeply down into that.
No, we'll do that. We'll do that in another video. That'll be a fun vlog.
That would be.
But yeah, so the worst thing you've ever made is.
So yeah, not everything that I make necessarily tastes good, but I'm always the one who consumes it. But I can say unequivocally, the thing that flopped the most was the time that I tried to make fudge. They do it at UW, and then they do it at Conestoga. You know, at the beginning of the term, you'll have the parade of people. You'll have the poster person comes in. You'll have sometimes the video games person who comes in. Like, the guy who brings the posters, like, to the SLC.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so yes. Same deal at Conestoga. You'll have, in the main student concourse area, somebody will come in and set up a poster shop. And then a couple weeks later, sometimes a video game guy. And then, as well, I've seen them at UW, the fudge person. Usually it's the fudge lady, although they could be other people. They'll set up that stand with, like, the pink banners or whatever, and they'll have that giant display case of fudge. And there was one time they were at Conestoga at work, and I thought, you know what? Like, I could make fudge. You know, Google's my friend. My Google foo is strong. So I will find a simple recipe for fudge, and I will make fudge.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried. And it didn't solidify, and so it ended up being kind of a really thick, molassesy chocolate sauce with, like, walnuts in it. And I made it with... it was the first time I'd ever worked with, like, marshmallow fluff.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, like, using whole milk or whatever. The recipe called for that, so...
Yeah.
I ate it, not in one go, but I slowly ate it because I'm like, well, I made it, and it's really sugary and tasty, so I will still eat it. But yeah, when instead of like cutting it nicely after it had set, which it never set, but assuming it would have set, you'd be able to lift out a nice whole piece of fudge. No, instead I kind of like scooped it, and it would just, you know, it had a really nice solid consistency, and then it just kind of melted.
So next time you do that, freeze it?
I should have froze it, yeah, but it just didn't set.
I have a tragic fudge story.
Uh-oh.
I have never made fudge in my life, but every year, so for as long as I can remember, my mom has made fudge every Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And once, this meant that as a very small child, I had basically, like, access to the Valhalla of fudge. Like just... It was a cornucopia of chocolatey goodness. And as a child who was of a particular persuasion, I enjoyed such things immensely, perhaps too immensely. So I fudged too close to the sun one season, and I have... Like, it has become impossible for me to think about or smell or discuss fudge without having to, like, repress the urge to vomit. I did not mention this to Huck in the pre-show because I felt like it would be better to make this confession on air. But, like, I understand that fudge is good, but it makes me feel sick.
See, I was,
every time it comes up.
I knew you didn't really like fudge, but I always just chalked it up to you not really liking intensely sweet things.
I also don't, but that is partly why, is because as a child, I fudged too close to the sun.
Yeah.
So mine, I've the worst thing that I had made up until very recently was an old... thing, like food experiment that I tried to do whereby I instead of using hamburger for a hamburger helper, chopped up a bunch of chicken burgers and mixed them in with a stroganoff recipe, and that was fucking terrible. They were not like regular chicken burgers. They were like these special healthy extra dry white meat chicken burgers. They were expressly processed and et cetera, et cetera. And it was vile. Like, they were vile as chicken burgers.
And the stroganoff sauce wasn't enough?
Did not help them at all. It was hamburger helper.
Yeah, fair enough.
It did specify hamburger in the name, and I should have listened. But I am a vegetarian now. I have been a vegetarian for almost a year now.
Has it really been that long?
Yeah, coming up in like... coming up in like May. So not that long.
Seven months.
Yeah, 7-8 months. So not as long as I think.
That's a vast difference of time.
Yes, it is. It's more like a donut-shaped thing. There's glaze. It's very complicated. But... And I have been attempting to level up as a vegetarian. So I started, and I was eating like... salads, and I was eating, you know, chili. I ate a lot of vegetarian chili, and I would make some pad thai, and I'm experimenting with stir fries and pasta, and I'm sort of slowly improving my vegetarian game. But one of the first things I did on one of my first vegetarian shopping trips is I bought a bag of lentils, and I put it in my cupboard because I was not ready for lentils. Every like level 9 vegetarian I know has like a killer lentil soup recipe. I do not. So I put this bag of lentils. I was like, when I'm ready, I'm coming for you, lentils. So at one point I decided I was ready. And I made some vegetable broth, and I chopped up a bunch of vegetables and put them in, and I put in the lentils, and I soaked the lentils for a long time, and I doled it out, and it was all right. It was all right. It was a lentil soup. It was passable. So next time, of course, I had to take it to the next level. Bought a different color of lentils on the recommendation of a level 9 vegetarian. And I bought more of them, because more lentils is obviously better. Like, I didn't have enough lentils last time.
Right.
I had more soup than lentils. So, I put the lentils in, and I soaked them, and I made the vegetable broth, and I added the vegetables like I did last time, and I added spices, and I stirred it all up, and I had a lot of lentils. And I soaked them for a while. But not what one might refer to as long enough. So what I wound up with, because I had way more lentils than liquid by the end of it, was a sort of vegetarian breakfast cereal that was filled to the brim with half-cooked lentils. Now, I have eaten... I use meal prepping. So when I make food, I make a lot of food. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that a bit later. But I have eaten most of it. Mm-hmm. But I am definitely now... I'm at that stage where I see it in my fridge and I'm just like... And after this, I'm going to make Huck eat it, and we'll do a video of that. But it's not vile. It's just really disappointing.
Up until you described it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can eat this. But now you describe it, I'm just like, I don't know if I want it. I don't know. I guess maybe for the sake of the vlog.
Should have done it first. Should have done it first. God damn it.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have. Now you kind of psyched me out.
Well, sorry. But it's disappointing.
I mean, it wasn't vile, but there was one time Sarah was sick, and I went to make her chicken soup and I threw barley in it because like I love barley.
No, barley in soup is good.
Except the problem is when I cook, I don't really follow recipes. Not because I think I'm better than them, but I just like I'll add something and it's like, oh, but I like barley, so I'm gonna add more.
Mm.
And so I ended up adding like more barley.
Did you make chicken broth oatmeal?
Not quite, but I put in a lot of barley, and I knew she liked bow tie noodles or bow tie pasta, so I added a lot of those. But I didn't add a commensurate amount of liquid, and so the noodles and the barley soaked up a lot. So it ended up more like a porridge is too strong of a word, but there wasn't enough liquid in there to really justifiably call it a soup. It was a very
I'm familiar
hearty,
with that feeling.
It was a hearty stew.
I can't even go that far.
Yeah. So I understand your pain of having you've run out of water.
I didn't realize it was like a kilogram and a half of lentils. It was in 14 cups of water.
A kilogram and a half dry too.
Yes, dry.
That's
dry.
The best thing is that's a kilogram and a half dry.
It's just like how many lentils should I put in? I don't know. All of them.
Yes.
I don't do non-olive lentils recipes. Now I do.
There's a reason why there are people smarter than us who make these recipes that we are supposed to follow.
Yes, there are. Well, I was just sort of inventing my own because I was like, if you put anything in broth and heat it, like add heat for long enough, you get delicious soup.
Yeah.
I just didn't add heat for long enough.
No. It happens.
Oh, man.
Don't feel bad. I made fudge that wasn't actually fudge.
I'm still going to eat some of it, and I feel bad. I have some in the fridge at work. I feel bad.
That's
all right. But yeah, you have been tracking food.
Yeah. I think it kind of goes part and parcel with aiming to be healthier. Obviously, they're mutually exclusive. You can focus on one, the other, both, neither. But I started off with fitness, and then I got to a point where I said, you know what, I should probably start to focus on nutrition. You know, they say that 80% of weight loss is you know, it starts in the kitchen and whatnot. So I became pretty comfortable with the gym that I thought, now it's time for me to start focusing on food. But the thing is anytime that I've looked at diets and whatnot, I've usually been turned off by it because... It just seems like the restriction is so harsh. It's really hard for me to stick with it. And I think that's a common thing for a lot of people. It's really hard to stick with those kinds of restrictions. So instead, I approached it from a different angle. I follow a fair number of health and fitness people on YouTube, like Alan Thrall from Untamed Strength, the guy Ray, his last name escapes me, the online coach. Nikki Blackletter, I think, is her last name. She's a What does she compete? Anyway, she's a fit. I think she does fitness modeling. She does a couple competitions. I don't know if she competes bikini or. I've never seen her compete weightlifting, but I think it's like the bikini posing competitions and stuff. And I think her boyfriend does the same with the swim trunks version of that.
Sure.
There's a name for it, but I'm
not
sure. I have
no idea what you're talking
Beachwear?
About.
Beachwear? I don't know. But anyways, I follow a fair number of health conscious people online, and a lot of them use like macronutrient tracking, which is largely just tracking carbs, fats, proteins. And then with a little bit of an eye towards your micronutrients and whatnot. So I thought I'd start with that. But instead of just setting up a macronutrient diet, which is like you... For those of you who are unfamiliar with the basic shakedown is if you take your daily caloric intake and then you know that fat, protein... and carbs contribute towards the calories at a certain ratio. So 1 gram of carbs and 1 gram of protein each contribute about 4 calories, and then fat gives you about nine calories.
Sure.
You can then set up a ratio of, say, you know, 50% carbs, 30% protein, 20% fat kind of deal, and then reverse engineer how much weight of each that you would want to consume, and then select foods based on...
That seems like a huge amount of work.
It is entirely, like, way too much work, but...
Could you just consume, like, Soylent?
You probably could.
Or you're just like, all right, I need this many carbs and this many, much protein, this much fat, so I'm going to eat, like, 4 eggs and, I don't know,
yeah, if,
3 pieces of bread.
No, totally.
And, like, I don't know, I'll drink, like, 2 shots of butter.
If you know how many calories you can do, then you can start it simply. You can just say, like, if I want to eat this many calories and I want this distribution. So usually, like, you cut your carbohydrates if you want to lose weight, whereas if you want to gain muscle, usually you increase your protein, right, to feed the body. You can go that way. But for me, I had to start backwards and figure out, okay, if, like, between MyFitnessPal and Fitbit, if they say that a guy my size is supposed to consume this many calories per day, then I wanted to work it backwards so that I could understand it for myself.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, if you say, like, I am a, like, at the time, I am a 325-pound person who is only moderately, at most, active, mostly sedentary, it'll tell me you need to eat around 2,600 calories. And if your macro distribution is like 50, 30, 20, then this is what you eat. And it would do it automatically for you. I wanted to do it to learn a little bit about it.
Okay.
And then I just ate whatever I wanted. Well, I ate kind of healthy, but I ate whatever I wanted for like 3 or 4 days. And I intensely tracked what I ate and calculated out the macronutrients. Not for anything beyond, I just want to know how much of each I'm putting into my body, and then kind of appreciate what, like, if I'm going to overeat and something, say, carbohydrates, like, mm-hmm. what that looks like. Because I kind of grew up in, like, middle class to low middle class sometimes, and we never, at least, I don't remember my mom ever explicitly buying with the purpose of having a balanced meal. Like, obviously, like, there's the category of junk food, and then there's a category of not necessarily junk food. So we would be in the not necessarily category of junk food. Like,
you didn't just eat potato chips all as a child, or like a potato chip soda slurry.
Yeah, I mean, you could,
like a chunky iced tea.
But for the most part, it would be like frozen TV dinners, Kraft dinner with like hot dogs in it and stuff like that. Whereas like my grandmother, more old school Eastern European, and she just made food that was naturally more balanced because she made everything from scratch kind of deal, right? So sure. I mean, I'm not knocking my mom. I love my mom and she raised me very well, like, from what I'm saying. But I grew up not thinking about what I was eating. And then that only got worse when I got into university, when I would be really hungry and I would just make 2 boxes of KD and eat that as a meal. Sometimes I couldn't finish it, but I would like force myself to finish the last like half a cup of prepared food because I'm like, I don't want to put it into a container and save it for later. So I'd eat 2 boxes. And when I was counting my macros and stuff like that, and I actually looked at the nutrition guide, like actually read it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, I'm just like, man, there's a lot of calories in this for what I'm eating. I'm not, and there's nothing saying that there's anything wrong with eating calories, but for what I'm eating it's not like you're not getting a lot of bang for your buck. You're getting a lot of calories, but you're not necessarily giving yourself a lot of like good nutrients, and you're going to fill up on crap and then not...
It was basically cardboard and cheese sauce.
Totally. Totally. So what the outcome of it... So I haven't really adopted a macro-based diet in terms of... Like, I don't plan out what I'm going to eat to hit any kind of macro targets. The reason for why I, like, A, I'm really lazy. It takes a lot of work to do that, more work than I'm willing to put into it. And B, I see that more as if I wanted to be... If I wanted to treat my body like a machine in terms of, like, performance, so if I was, like, more athletic or if I had specific goals that way, I might put that emphasis or I might put value into that exercise. But for the most part, I just want to lose weight or at least maintain and not gain. So I just want to make better choices for when I go grocery shopping.
If your body was a machine, what kind of machine would it be?
A biological machine.
That's very specific.
It is, because that's exactly what it is.
Sure. But I don't know. If my body was a machine,
I like it would be a Yugo. I want to be a perpetual motion machine.
Fair.
Yeah.
I'll stick with Yugo. It's kind of a piece of crap, but it mostly gets where you're going.
Yeah. So yeah, anyways, I've kind of rambled just to kind of cap it off. So yeah, I don't track macronutrients, but the experience of tracking it for a couple days gave me an appreciation of like the value of food. And so now when I select things like bringing salads to work or, I guess it's just any of the lunch choices I make or whatever, I have that in the back of my mind that, yeah, this is going to be crap for me. You know, it's just a lot of like kind of empty calories, but it is what it is, and I can appreciate that and make smarter choices around it.
I used to be a salad luncher when I had a little bar fridge in my office. Mm-hmm. And so I would keep the components of salad in that fridge, and then I would every day for lunch create a salad and consume it. I had like lettuce and a little like vegetable cheese salad mix that I'd made and some dressing. Mm-hmm. And it was really delicious. And now that I don't have a fridge or an office, it is more challenging. But
you could buy an ice pack and keep in your lunch pail.
I don't have a lunch pail either.
No, you can get a lunch pail, and then you can get an ice pack, and then it'll keep your salad cold. Because
it's already getting very involved.
Yeah, no, I make salads for work. That's like the main thing. Sometimes bring cut carrots and celery with hummus, and I'll bring some yogurt that I'll top with granola and honey. And I might bring like a piece of fruit, like banana. But the main thing is a salad, and like I even make my own salad dressing. But that's just mixing an oil, an acid, and some sort of flavoring. So for me, it's olive oil mixed with apple cider vinegar mixed with sriracha. That's my salad dressing.
You're a weirdo.
I am weird, but it works. And when I eat lunch, it's what I eat every day for lunch.
Fair. Yeah, I have a different way of doing it. I'm just lazy. I don't like making food in the morning. It's hard enough.
I make it the night before
for me to make breakfast. Yeah, I don't like doing that either. No, I have started tracking food.
Yeah.
And it is really weird. I'm a notorious cheater, and I know when I cheat because I feel guilty. For instance, we get pizza on podcast night, which is not super healthy at all, and we both eat more pizza than we probably should.
Oh, God, yeah.
And the pizza comes with sodas, which I drink. And Huck also gets 3 sodas because it comes with a 6-pack of soda. Mm-hmm. And Huck never drinks all his soda, so I also drink Huck's soda. Because no one the fuck else in my house is going to drink it. And otherwise, I'm just going to build a giant wall of Sprite.
You might as well.
So, I drink it. Soda is my, like, super vice. But, and because I feel guilty, I cheat on the tracking, which means I don't get accurate numbers. Or if it's, like, slightly vague, I just, like, fuck it and fill in something else. So I'm really not good at it. But the notion of tracking it always affects what I eat. My general feeling whenever I want something like that is like junk food. It's like, if I have to struggle with doing it, then it is not worth doing. Mm-hmm. Sort of full stop. But I have, in the last year, I've made some very large changes, because previous to being a vegetarian, I was eating in a keto fashion, which I was not super big on when a bunch of my friends started, first did it. But I know a couple of people who've been doing it for years, including my roommate, and it is excellent. It's an excellent sort of way to change. If you are a meat eater, it is great, a great way to like change your diet for weight loss and mm-hmm. still eat food that is yummy. And I made some really yummy food. And I ate like mostly pork and cream cheese and whatever. And I lost a ton of weight too. Mm-hmm. Again, like paying attention to what you're eating is the best way to keep it under control. Mm-hmm. And normally that is not, I guess, a thing that people worry about. But when you are a super huge dude, I'm not even like, I guess, that big. I'm like 340. Mm-hmm. I'm bigger than you.
Yeah.
At least girthy. Mm-hmm. But I'm heavier than you at any rate. But I'm no Donald Trump. But there's a sense in which you like it is a thing that you feel the need to monitor, mm-hmm. Or not. I've never been sufficiently body positive to be like, man, fuck it, I'm just gonna eat all the chips I want. Also, because it makes me feel like garbage. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it turns out I'm old. I can't do that anymore. But yeah, the shift from going from like a high protein, low carb thing to being a vegetarian, where I was like, okay, basically everything except for eggs that was providing protein to me is now gone. I best learned to start eating beans and lentils. Because one of the things with lentils is lentils are full of protein.
Yeah.
They're really good for you. If your vegetarian power level is over 9,000.
Yeah.
If you're sitting... If you are a vegetarian Vegeta... that joke is really funny, by the way. If you didn't laugh at that, go and watch some Dragon Ball Z. Go and watch some Dragon Ball Z Abridged. I'll put it in the show notes. But if you are a vegetarian Vegeta, and you're like Prince of the Vegetarian Saiyans, then lentils are... You're the bomb.
I don't even know why you're saying vegetarian Vegeta, because Vegeta is vegetable.
Yes, exactly.
You are doubling up on...
I, however, am a... Like, I'm like a vegetarian Yamcha. Like, I'm like 10 steps below vegetarian Krillin. Sort of with the band. And thus, lentils, as we are well aware, are not my jam. Yet.
I would prefer to be a part
of the... I am training.
I want to be a part of the Ginyu Force.
Well, wouldn't everyone?
Rakum! Oh, yes.
wouldn't everyone, given the choice. But, no, what it meant was that, like, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, I can eat carbs again. Mm-hmm. Which I have done with gusto, with things like pasta and rice and bread. Mm-hmm. But I'm still sort of figuring it out, mostly because I'm lazy. Mm-hmm. And my laziness leads me to do things that are easy rather than things that are worthwhile. But it's also my general food practice is to meal prep. Mm-hmm. So the only food I'm really interested in is stuff that I can make 3 kilograms of, like two and a half to 3 kilograms of, and that's usually pasta, stir fry, pad thai. I really want to learn to make a curry, but I haven't bothered yet.
I can help you make a tofu variant of a chicken
curry. I am not anywhere near tofu level yet.
No, it's fine. It's press out all the water so that it's not waterlogged, and then you just have to let it sit in the seasoning for a while.
Yup. I'm not anywhere near there yet. I haven't even made an attempt at Shannon's vegetarian buffalo wings, which I love, and they're delicious, and I really need to get a recipe for them. But yeah, like it's those 4 things. It's soups, because I'll make a huge pot of it, or a huge pan of it, and then dole it out into little containers. So I'll have, like, 12 containers, and I'll throw them all in my fridge, and that becomes lunch and dinner until they're gone, and breakfast when I'm lazy. Well, because every morning in my house is sort of a coordination problem, because one of us gets up late and needs to be at work for 8, and one of us gets up early but needs to be at work for 9. Mm-hmm. So there's this interesting middle ground where we don't want to... There's only enough physical room in my kitchen for one person. And we don't take showers together, and we only have one shower. So there's this sort of intricate dance of apartment yielding that goes on in the mornings. And sometimes I lose that coordination game, and it means that I can't get in there and, like, make an omelet for breakfast, and I just got to eat something quick. Because if I go to work and I don't eat breakfast, I get all cranky. And nobody likes that. And meal prepping is useful for that, because I never need to worry about it. You know, if I leave for work at 8:45, I, worst case scenario, have a container of breakfast that I can eat at work, and I have a container that I can eat for lunch. And often those are containers of two different things. And yeah, sometimes I'm the guy sitting at my desk at 9:30 eating pasta and checking my email. But meh. And so but the meal prepping is essential. Like, I'm just sufficiently lazy culinarily that I can't be bothered to make food every day. I can't be bothered to wash my dishes every day, especially in a house with three other people.
I can't do that, and I live by myself.
I can't be bothered. I'll make a big, huge thing, and then I will cook, or I will do all the dishes, and then I will be happy that I've been a good housemate, and then I will, like, leave the kitchen, never to return, until the next weekend, when I will make more food. And I sort of rotate recipes in and out, so I don't get super bored of them. And that works as long as I don't make anything that's horrible, like this time. So, buying food. Yeah. I mean, we want to talk about our relationship with food. That means talking about where we buy food. And one of the things that came up in the pre-show was that we both weirdly prioritize buying local. And for me, I live in downtown Kitchener, and I'm right by the farmer's market. There's a bunch of grocery stores. There's a bunch of international grocery stores. There's two Asian supermarkets. There's a Latino or like a supermarket. Well, not a supermarket, but a market. There's an Egyptian market in the little Hasty Market thing. You can buy all kinds of Egyptian groceries. And on top of all that, there's a real grocery store, and like way up at the other end. And I realize that the statement "real grocery store" is not a good one. There's a like regular Western grocery store up at the mall, which is only like 8 blocks from downtown. And there's a little hippie health food store, which is where I buy my lentils. And for me, buying local is about A, buying things within walking distance because I'm a pedestrian, and B, supporting local businesses, like spending my money around my house because too many things around me have closed. And if they have closed, I would like to at least not feel guilty about it, because I always see those things in the paper when something closes around here, and people are like, "Well, it's a shame." And I'm like, "Well, how much money did you spend there?" Because I think it's a shame, but I didn't really go there either, because it was easier to go to other places. But as a pedestrian, it's easier for me to walk downtown and buy stuff, unless I need, like, Western white people groceries, like frozen pizzas.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm perfectly on board with supporting local businesses. For me, it tends to come down to I'm a convenience shopper. So I go to the same Zehrs, even though I've moved. It used to be that I would go there.
That's dedication.
Well, so yeah, I used to, like, last term I would go there because I was also dropping the dog off. So I was in the neighborhood anyways. Now I don't have that excuse. Now I literally am driving across town just to go to that grocery store. So, like, I know the layout. I know the cashier that I usually go to because she works Tuesday nights, and she's also...
You're an unbelievable creature of habit, man.
I totally am. Like, it's...
Like, you're like, I go to the same barber. I go to the same Zehrs. I go to the same cashier
Yeah.
At the stairs, I use the same checkout.
She goes to Chainsaw periodically, but she's also a student in one of the engineering programs that I work at, like at the college. I always thought of myself as being like a little bit of a random person, but no, I am surprisingly like habitually predictable.
The highly ordered Huckle. You really are lawful Ryan.
I really am lawful. Like it's one of those things that when I find something that I like, And I'm willing to pay for that service or quality or whatever. Like with the barber, I got my hair cut on Saturday. Mick makes me look good. I treat Mick like my preacher, basically. When I'm getting my hair cut, like Mick is my barber, and I treat like sitting down in his chair like confession. I go to confession once a month. I sit down and I'm like, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been 1 month since my last haircut.
Do you then confess all your sins to Mick?
I confess my sins. He confesses his. We talk about the crappy things in our life, and that's how we do it.
Wow. So when I go to the barber, and I actually go to the same barber as Ryan now, Mick cut my hair the last time.
Yeah.
Which he did an excellent job, despite my completely vague instructions. But my response upon being at the barber is to engage as little as possible and get my hair cut in monastic silence.
So, yeah, I mean, I sometimes do that. Mick will tell, like, Mick can tell when I'm trying to, like, when I want to stay quiet or whatever. And I let him talk more than me because I find if I'm talking, it's probably shifting my head enough that it's going to be awkward to get a good haircut. But
that was how Ryan got a mohawk.
But I don't know. The way I see it.
Don't worry.
When I sit down in
Mick makes that mohawk look good.
Yeah, when I sit down in Mick's chair and he looks at me and I look at him and he says the usual, and I said, yeah, except just keep the bangs a little bit longer, and he goes, yeah, because it lies down better. Bang. I don't have to explain nothing. Nothing. He knows exactly what I want, and we do it. I gave him a Tim Hortons gift card for Christmas because he drinks a lot of coffee, and that was my Christmas gift to him. I always tip him well. He treats me well, and I was like, I am a creature of habit. Bringing it back to the conversation. So I go to the same grocery store. I know the layout. When I'm doing grocery prep, so I have a whiteboard on my refrigerator.
Of course.
That when I run out of stuff, I make notes on there. So I check my list. I look in the fridge to see what I need that I didn't note that I'd run out of. Plus, because I go to Zehrs, it's a part of like the President's Choice Network, so I use their PC Points app to see what's got deals. Then what I will literally do is, before I go, I will close my eyes and do a mental walk through the store and try to figure out what else I need to get before I actually go to the store. And I do this...
Are you grocery shopping? No, I'm pre-grocery shopping.
I know,
in my mind.
I know it's so weird, but for me, it's an attempt. So it's kind of like the idea... Don't grocery shop when you're hungry. Do all those things that you do to avoid extraneous spending, buying things you don't need, spur of the moment. So I try to just stick. Like I always write out my list and I stick to the list. If I go to look at it and it's too expensive for what I want to pay for it, I'll cross it off my list and be like, okay, I didn't get it this time. Like that's for me. I try to keep my costs down. I try to build up as many points as I can, and like. I don't really use the points. I ended up building up $200 in free groceries. For my birthday, I gave half of that. I went and I bought $100 worth of groceries and gave it to the food bank. Like, it's not really buying or getting points for anything in particular. I just like building the points as a
must game. Collect all the points.
Must collect all the points.
Oh, man.
So, yes, I will do a mental walkthrough of the grocery store and try to pick up the things, or try to, like, imagine or anticipate the things that I'm going to need that I didn't write down on my list.
I'm imagining you, like, subsequently entering the grocery store. You know, you've got your cart out in front of you, and suddenly your consciousness transfers from the mind to the moment, and there's this like Jedi like motherfucking gun kata flow through the store as you're like surfing around on your on your cart, snatching things from various shelves, stuffing them inside, bank your cart off a display that you knew was there. Yep. Because it was in your mind.
Exactly. I know. I know that is how I roll. That is So yeah, that's how I shop. Now, having said all that, I get a lot of joy going to the St. Jacob's Food Market. I get a lot of joy going to the market.
Do you mentally go there, too?
No, I've only been there two or three times, so it's not like I can do that. The problem with going to the St. Jacob's Market, and conversely the Kitchener Market, is as a non-pedestrian, well, you can't really be a pedestrian and go to the St. Jacob's Market. It's a hell of a bus ride. But it is super inconvenient for me to go to the St. Jacob's Market because, like, the markets in the non-summer months and stuff, it's really only Wednesdays and Saturdays. I can't go Wednesday morning because I have, like, my full-time job to go to. Saturdays are really inconvenient. I know I'm just complaining about this unnecessarily, but Saturdays are really inconvenient to get up and go to the market when I've been working at the bar Friday night and I don't come home until at least 3 o'clock in the morning. So for me to get up and go get out to the market at a decent time is a little bit of a pain in the ass. And then I do all my the rest of my errands and stuff Saturdays. Like, that's where I go like to the hardware store if I need to pick up stuff, haircuts and whatnot. That all happens Saturdays. And then the Kitchener Market, I just never really thought to go because driving downtown on Saturday to go to the market is brutal.
Ryan, if only you knew someone who lived right in the middle of downtown.
And to be fair, I didn't think of that until we were in the pre-show. He's like, I live right next door. You can park here and walk. I'm like, oh, yeah.
It's just down the hill. It is. I very much enjoy the Kitchener Market, partly because it is a great place to eat breakfast and hear live music and hang out with people. I do live really close to it, so people will park at my house and we all walk down, which is very nice. Mm-hmm. It's also a weird and interesting social space where I will see people from my former grad supervisor to people I know through music to like people I've just seen in the community or work with on community projects, people I work with. It is a weird social space because it just attracts such a high quantity of people who live downtown, and the Venn diagram of people I know and people who live within walking distance of me is very, very strongly aligned.
Now, we're running a little long, so I have to tell this story. We're going to go in a little bit of overtime, folks, so bear in with me.
You're a monster. Did you tell the story in your mind before?
Yes,
if you told it in your mind, it has to happen.
Okay, so the reason why we're talking about buying local is... So, as I said, I don't have a problem with supporting local businesses as long as it's convenient. Which I'm the most terrible person for. That is not supporting
local businesses. I'm not going to say that's an unusual argument. I'm just going to say it's a piece of shit argument.
It's a piece of shit argument. But anyways, so I was challenged to buy local. Not local businesses, but buy stuff that was produced locally in the winter months. Which is really weird. So it's really hard to buy vegetables and stuff in the winter. And you know what? Like, I'm not a vegetarian, but I don't really buy a lot of meat just for cost reasons. Like, if you look in my fridge, right now there's no meat. There's cheeses and stuff, but there's no meat. All the meat's in the
freezer. Tomorrow is your grocery shopping day. You've already done that shop in your mind. But, are you buying meat?
Well, I have to double check the. Usually, I'll only buy meat if it's on sale. That's one thing that I don't plan to buy. It's if I go in and I look and I'm like, okay. Chicken breasts, like boneless, skinless chicken breasts, $2.99 a pound. Yeah, I'll buy it. If it's more than that, don't bother. Like, kind of deal. Like, I'm oddly specific about that unless I really want to, like, make a roast or do something else. So I'm opportunistic with my meat. Anyway, so I was challenged to buy local. And in this case, local was defined as around no further than like 80 to 100 kilometers away. So, I mean, it was geographically specific that this was...
At what point do you just start raiding people's gardens?
Well, I probably should have. So, anyways, so...
Drop off their roof like Spider-Man?
What
are you doing? I invaded your garden in my mind.
I'm never going to live that down, am I?
No, you're really not.
So I was given this challenge before Christmas, and the challenge came due like 2 weeks after January started. And so all through the Christmas break, like, I bought groceries before Christmas, just enough to get me to Christmas. Because once it was the season, I was with my parents and stuff. I didn't need to buy groceries until I got back from family. And then I didn't buy groceries because I had leftovers for the next, like, 2 weeks. So when it finally came time for me to go back to work, I didn't have enough leftovers to make lunches for work. Again, salads and stuff. and I had to do this local challenge. So I go to the grocery store, and I'm looking for local stuff. And the best I could find was Ontario, like the Ontario agricultural symbols. You know, we grow in Ontario, yep, kind of deal, right? So I know that didn't really follow the spirit of the challenge. So I bought the bare essentials that I needed to survive at lunch at work. And I'm like, okay, I'll go to this place called Dutchie's, which I know is a little bit more conscientious for local stuff. The problem is Dutchie's, while, I mean, it was still a 10-minute drive away from my house, it was really inconvenient to get to by the time they closed during rush hour traffic and whatnot. And I only buy groceries Tuesdays.
No, we're aware.
In my system, I only buy groceries on Tuesdays. And so...
You must respect the system.
So going to Dutchie's became a little bit of a hassle that I just didn't want to deal with. And I had to buy local. I didn't know anywhere else where I could buy local food reliably. Other than, like, there's an Instagram account where there's people who they set up a system where they source local food and then they'll deliver it to your house.
There's Legacy Greens, which is downtown, which sells vegetables.
See, I didn't know about
this. 9 to 7 every day.
Wait, that's not the Working Centers group,
is it? No, the Working Center group is different, which is at the Queen Street Commons. They also sell vegetables
that are all locally grown. I have found out about a lot of this since the challenge, to be fair to me. But anyways, again, we're in overtime. I'm going to try to wrap this up. So, because I had to buy local, but I couldn't be bothered to go to Dutchie's, I didn't buy groceries for 2 weeks. It was.
Did you at least eat locally in your mind?
I ate locally within my pantry. I kept looking for as much food as I could find out of my
pantry. What is this? I don't know, but it's local to me because it's within 3 feet. Yeah. Are you just doing shots of soy sauce now, Ryan?
No, it was like rice and frozen vegetables out of the freezer and stuff. When I bought them, not local, but they were local because they were in my apartment.
Things that are definitely local. Rice.
Yeah.
No, also totally. Pineapple.
I know. But, yeah, so it, in my mind, in order to satisfy the terms of the buy local challenge, it was ethically more satisfactory to me to not buy food than to like give in and buy other food because I had to get, like, it was one of those weird things.
Can drive out to Hurley's?
You say these now. I should have brought you in on this challenge. But so yes, there was that time when I had to buy local, and instead of buying local, I just didn't buy groceries.
Oh man! If you buy local, leave a comment
and tell me where your favorite place is, so that I know where to go.
That way, if Huck is ever in your locality, he's not going to be at a loss, and he can look it up on Google, so we can go there in his mind first. But other than that, we will catch you guys later.
Yeah, thanks for sticking around for the extra time.
If you want more updates, you can subscribe on iTunes with the link below, which is in the show notes. And you can follow us on Twitter at Woodsuit, because we're Twitter nerds sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yes. Also, if you have a great recipe for lentil soup or lentil stew, for the love of God, please leave it in the comments.
Preferably level 9 or higher.
If there's a level 5 lentil recipe, I'm really looking forward to it. But either way.
Level 5 split pea soup.
I'm Jim.
I'm Ryan.
And we're signing off.
All right, stay local.
I know, I just...
You would never know.
Doesn't seem fair.
I don't know. You edit me saying... Or you edit out things that you say that are dumb and leave all the stuff in, so I don't see why we can't just swap it all around.